And so when the stay-at-home ban hit in March, I was like, okay, I'm going to rest. I'm not going to do anything. This is my time for myself. And then the board chair of She's Doing, she called me and she says, okay, we got to do something. We got to do this or find something to do. And I was like, no, in my head, screaming no. But I knew she was right. We couldn't just sit idle, while our kids needed us, our community needed us. So what we've done is we pivoted from our in-person program to our online classes. And our online classes are an extension of our in-person program to create and teach activities to our online audience. And that way, it allows people from all over the world to volunteer and give back.
Welcome back to another episode of How Are You Helping? The podcast that brings to you notable leaders of purpose-driven organizations who share the mindsets, attitudes, and beliefs that got them focused on living a compassionate, altruistic life or career. I'm your host, Sean Riley. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of How Are You Helping? If you're new to the show, How Are You Helping is the podcast where I speak to heart-centered, purpose-driven leaders who are on a mission to help vulnerable people, animals, or the environment through their work or the causes they are pioneering. Today, I've got a very special interview for you guys. I have the CEO and founder of Choose to Do, Inc., a nonprofit organization based in Houston, Texas, that helps youth with underutilized potential, empowers them, and generally leads them down the right path in life. Choose to Do, Inc. is a Houston-based 501c3 nonprofit organization that teaches inner-city youth important skills like self-love and empowerment, leadership, and respect for their community in order to improve their outcomes. February was Black History Month, and March was International Women's Month. In late February, Texas was also hit really hard with a tragic weather event. Three severe storms swept across the U.S., and a massive electricity generation failure led to folks with shortages of food, water, and heat. So I want to shine the light on Dozy and her organization, Choose to Do. Choose to Do is a Black female-led organization and is based in Texas. So if you're called to help Texas, her organization could really use your support. If your heart is telling you you want to help, there are many ways to help Texas, but this is just one of the ways. If you're in Texas, you may want to volunteer. Or if you simply want to donate, I will put a link in the show notes. According to Dr. Frederick Newman, low self-esteem is a thinking disorder in which an individual views him or herself as inadequate, unlovable, or incompetent. Once formed, this negative view permeates every thought, producing faulty assumptions and ongoing self-defeating behavior. Millions of teenagers across the country suffer from low self-esteem. When children have low self-esteem, it can impact their physical and mental health. Nearly 1 in 5 teens experiences depression before they reach adulthood, and less than a third of teens with depression receive any sort of treatment for their depression. Dozy O'Hare has a passion for service and years of experience in child development. Over the past few years, she has frequently volunteered her time to organizations like causes such as breast cancer awareness events, Relay for Life, which is a rally for the American Cancer Society. She has helped at the Women's Shelter, the Make-A-Wish program, and Dress for Success Worldwide. Dozy created this nonprofit, Choose to Do, Inc., which helps tackle low self-esteem in kids aged 9 to 19, just over 5 years ago, and has been growing rapidly ever since. In this interview, we talk a little bit about what inspired her acts of generosity and compassion, how therapy has assisted her to become the woman and leader she is today, and what Choose to Do is all about. So without further ado, here is my interview with Dozy O'Hare. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Dozy. So great to have you on the podcast.
Hello. Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. So I wanted to begin the interview today talking about your nonprofit choose to do, the important work that you do on a daily basis, and then that will lead into some of the background on the reasons why you chose to found and lead this nonprofit. And then we'll dive into some rapid fire questions and finally end the show shortly after that. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Awesome. So I'd like to start out by asking you about your reason behind your passion for serving others. Can you talk about where that love of service came from?
Yeah. So when I was a kid growing up, my parents would always have someone in their care, whether it was somebody else's child, if it was church activities or encouraging us to volunteer and help out in certain areas or certain places. And I just saw that my parents were just so giving, like they always wanted to help out somebody. And then they would tell us stories of my great grandparents and our grandparents and how they were so involved in the community and doing things for others. On top of that, they built a church in our compound in Nigeria. And so it was a community church where everybody could come to. And, you know, that's kind of what I saw growing up through my life. And it was something that was learned behavior, but I also believe that that's in within me that I enjoy doing. And so that's where my passion for giving back comes from and helping out others from my parents. But also, I just love kids, and I just love, you know, seeing other people smile and knowing that they're smiling. It sounds cliche, but it's the truth. You know, yeah. I really do enjoy seeing people happy and knowing that I contributed to making them happy.
That's awesome. That's incredible. And I love that you touched on kind of your parents, their background, how they built a church in Nigeria. But I do want to talk about your nonprofit Choose to Do. Choose to Do is such a powerful name. Can you talk about why you named it Choose to Do, and how does that name relate to what you're teaching your kids?
Yeah, so I was sitting in a restaurant with my friend, and this was in the process of me thinking about leaving my then job. I was working for the Houston Bar Association, which is the Association for Attorneys here in Houston, Texas. And I was came off of work and was hanging out with my friend after work. And we were just talking about things that we want to do in our future. And the topic of me having a nonprofit came up. And at the time, I didn't have a name. I didn't know. I just kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do, but still it wasn't defined. And so in talking through it with her, she was like, you know, maybe you should think about Choose to Do, because you're choosing to do something. The kids are... It's a choice. And I was thinking about it. I thought about it a little bit longer. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, because ultimately we're telling kids in the communities that we're servicing that you have a choice in how you want to live your life. You're in control. So when she said Choose to Do Inc., I was like, you know what? Boom, put two and two together. That makes sense. And that's how the name came about. But what was the second part?
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to kind of continue off of there. So can you tell me about Choose to Do Inc.? How is the mission for the organization meaningful to you personally? And why did you, get involved in this particular cause? And how did your personal development journey impact your desire to impact kids in a positive way?
Yeah. So Choose to Do Inc. is a nonprofit that mentors underprivileged youth ages 9 to 19 years old. And our mission is to focus on the physical and mental benefits of positive thinking in young adults 9 to 19 years old. And actually, we don't say underprivileged anymore. Now we say youth with underutilized potential, because we wanted to make sure that we are calling the we're using language that uplifts and affirms the kids. And underprivileged tends to come off as you're less than, and we don't want them to feel that way. And so now we say underutilized potential. And so we're basically a mental health and wellness organization for young adults 9 to 19 years old. And my passion for mentoring specifically this age group comes from my upbringing. So essentially, I am mentoring myself. This is what I wish I had when I was that age, when I was 9 or 10. I grew up and I went through childhood trauma. And I come from a family where my parents were focused on education. Make sure you go to school, make sure that you have food on the table and in a house, a roof over your head, and then you're fine, which is great. That's excellent parenting. But there also is an emotional component to parenting that lacked in my household. And so that, because I didn't have that growing up, I felt alone. I felt isolated. I didn't have a support system to talk to within my own family. And I was angry all the time, aggressive. I had risky behaviors. And ultimately, I was depressed. But I didn't know it. I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
And then grew up, went to college. And then my depression got worse. And then I started seeing a therapist in college. And then I graduated from college and I continued my journey of being in therapy. And therapy helped me to see, helped me to identify my childhood traumas. And then it gave me the tools to be able to move past it. So I was actually in my early 30s when I had this aha moment. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm beautiful. And that's around the time that I started getting this idea, which I say it was God. The universe is telling me it's time for you to do something for other kids. And so the time that I had my awakening personally, and the time that I was getting this idea to put the nonprofit together, is when I decided to do something about it. And that's how the journey, at that point, the journey of Choose to Do Inc. became its own. It started having a life of its own.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that, you know, that entire story there. And, you know, just the fact that you took something that challenged you early on in your life and you're able to give that back to the kids that you're serving is just a fantastic thing. And something I see a lot of people that give doing, you know, a lot of people that are generous, that give, that are compassionate, are often doing it to give back what they wish that they had, or, you know, something along those lines. So that is phenomenal. Can you tell me a little bit about the specific demographics of the children you're helping? I know you mentioned they're aged 9 to 19, but what are the specific challenges or needs of this target demographic?
Yeah, so the age group is 9 to 19 years old, and we mostly mentor Black and brown kids. Majority of the kids that we mentor actually are African-American. And then the next race down is Hispanic. And then we have other races that are within our group. And we decided to mentor kids 9 to 19 years old because that's the age where you're more susceptible to information. That's the age where the decisions that you make at that moment during the age can really impact your life negatively or positively. So I call them sponges. You're a sponge. You know, you're soaking up everything, you know, all the knowledge and the coming across, you know, the people in your life, if they're influencing you in a negative or positive way, you're soaking in all that data. And so, we decided to stay within that age group because we knew that that would be the age group that we could most impact. And then if you're above 19, you're pretty much, you're considered yourself an adult, even though you're still a child. In my mind, you're not an adult until you're like in your late 20s, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're in elementary school kids, you know, they're younger and they're still growing in themselves. And so we decided to stick with 9-19 because we knew that they would be more impacted.
Yeah, I love that term sponge too. And I think that that's totally true. You know, we're constantly learning new things and are you know, especially at that younger age, our brains are rapidly developing. And then by the time kids reach that 18, 19 mark, they go through, you know, some of the biggest challenges in adulthood, you know, starting out their lives and just having that foundation of positive thinking and the right mindset. I'm sure it really, really helps these kids. So I'd like to know a little bit more details about how Choose to Do makes an impact. I know you mentor youth, both boys and girls. Can you talk about the Break the Cycle program? What is that all about?
Breaking the Cycle came about in 2017. So that's the first program that we created. The nonprofit was started in 2016. So a year later, we created our first program, which is Breaking the Cycle. And Breaking the Cycle is made up of 5 classes that promote self-love and leadership among boys and girls 9 to 19 years old. And so we take them through a series of topics for each class. It's one class, 1 hour a week for 5 weeks. We take them through a series of topics for each class, and then we have interactive activities centered around that topic. So the first class is positive self-talk. And that's my favorite class, because people don't realize, especially at a young age, you don't realize the voice in your head.
Mm.
It's a subconscious voice that's telling you, and driving you, right? Yeah. And sometimes it could be negative or it can be positive. And if it's negative, it weighs heavily on who you are, your actions, and so on. If it's positive, it tends to lift your mood, you know, you're more productive, or you just feel better. And so we wanted the kids to recognize that there is a negative and positive subconscious mind, and you can have control over that. You know, as crazy as our brains are, as wonky as our brains are, you have control over that. And so we wanted to give them the skills to at least identify it and be able to deal with it. And then the second class is healthy love relationships. And so we do an activity that identifies healthy versus unhealthy love relationships. And we get them to identify what that is, if that shows up in their lives, if they have seen it, or if they've taken part in it, and then what would they like that to be, right? And so they do that self-work themselves. And then the third week is Let's Talk Fears. Same concept, where the kids identify their fears, and then they provide healthy solutions on how to deal with them and move past them. And then the fourth class is Defining Your Life's Purpose. So we're not just talking about career, but we're talking about your life holistically. Do you want a family, spirituality? You know, what do you want with your career? How much money do you want to make? You know, let's take it there, and let's envision what that looks like. And let's put that down. And the last class is called Spa Day. And with Spa Day, it's just an extra special day for the kids to help them summarize what they've learned from the first 4 weeks. Well, we actually turn the location or the space into a spa feel. So we decorate, they get like really nice decadent desserts and food. But then they also go through two workshops to help them summarize what they've learned from the first 4 weeks. And the girls will get manicures, and then the boys will have them get haircuts. We've done like yoga with the kids. We've done dance. So it's to help them identify what self-care looks and feels like, and you can replicate that in your life.
Self-care. Wow. That's fantastic. I really, really like that whole program. It sounds super valuable, and I wish I had something like that growing up. Now I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about the personal events that have shaped your life and your career. I want to dive in a bit deeper and find out what led you to become the compassionate person that you are. Can you talk about your childhood a little bit? I know you mentioned you overcame depression at a young age. Can you talk about how that led you to seek out a therapist? And what did you learn in those early phases of therapy? And how did that evolve throughout the years?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was miserable as a kid. Starting off, I think I would say maybe, I would say 9. And growing up in a family also with 4 brothers, I always felt like a number of things. I didn't have a voice. You know, I didn't matter. I wasn't as important as everyone else in my family. And as I got older, growing to my womanhood, I needed support. I needed to have my father. I needed to have my mother to lean on for questions, to talk to whenever I was, you know, feeling down or if I was going through something, which I was. In middle school, I was bullied. And I was bullied in elementary school, and then I transferred schools and was also bullied in middle school. And I didn't realize the effect that that had on until recently, because that actually is something that never came up in therapy, because in my mind as an adult, I had dealt with it and I had moved past it. But it caused me to think about it and process it recently when I spoke with someone that I was talking about my past with. And so with that particular situation, I knew that as an adult, it still affects me. It still haunts me, you know, but I'm able to deal with it because therapy gave me the tools to heal and work out my personal issues.
Yeah.
And it really is just about changing my perspective on the situation, looking at it from a different angle so that I can change the narrative. That's what helped me. That's the tactic that I use whenever I come across a scenario or what's something bothers me, and so on and so forth. So I started therapy in 2007. I was a serial college student. You know, I'll say that I was there for a long time. I think it was like 8 years or so. But 2007, I was on campus and I realized that I didn't feel good. It just kind of all came to a head. I wasn't going to class. I wasn't eating the way I was supposed to. And I just felt horrible. I just felt like every day was a dark day. And then a thought crossed my mind. I said, go talk to someone. And I didn't know that we had counselors available on campus, but I went to go seek help. And I found out that we had counselors on campus. And I saw the counselor and I didn't feel like I got what I needed. And so I stopped. And then I transferred to schools.
When you say you didn't get what you needed, what was missing for you?
What was missing for me was that I felt like the therapist was there just to do their job. They weren't really there to get to know me.
Mm.
So it was very surface level.
Yeah.
We didn't really connect. And so I stopped seeing that therapist. And then I transferred schools and I picked up therapy again. And I still felt the same way and I stopped. And then I graduated. I graduated and I moved back home and I found a therapist at home. And he was a older white man. His name is Dr. Boyd. And he got me. He understood me. And we came from two very different backgrounds, but he was able to, he could hear me. He could provide lessons that I could take for myself as a Black woman and utilize them to be different, to look at life differently. And that's really where the journey for me began when it came to loving myself, exploring my identity, who I am, what do I want in this life? You know, what am I here for? That's where that all kind of, the door kind of opened for me at that point. And then I stopped seeing him. And then I would say 3 years ago, I started seeing a life coach and her name is Aisha. And she is who I'm currently seeing today. And she is awesome as well. She gives me real raw advice. My journey through therapy is a journey. I don't think that therapy is a one-time thing, unless it's the situation calls for it. But I think whether you see somebody or you don't, self-development is a journey.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I'll ask you a little bit more about what some of those lessons were that you learned from those therapists and that life coach in just a moment. But first, I do want to ask, do you have any religious, spiritual, or mindfulness practices that have centered you or enhanced your daily life? And if so, how has religion or spirituality shaped your worldview?
Yeah, so I would say I have a spiritual worldview. I don't consider myself to be religious or tied to religion. But what I do is I practice taking care of myself. And for me, that looks like whatever I enjoy doing, making sure that I set time aside to do that. So I would love to say that I journal every single day, that, you know, I wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning and I meditate or pray in the morning, but I don't do that stuff, you know, but I do it when I can. I journal, especially when I want to get out some thoughts that are bothering me. I'll take up my little pink little journal and I will write whatever's bothering me. I believe in manifestations. And so I'll write in my journal something that I want to manifest. And I speak about it in present tense or future tense.
Hmm.
And that helps, when I write it down, it helps me to focus on what it is that I want to do and actualize it. I play the guitar now. I picked the guitar up, I think, at the beginning of the year. And I've been wanting to play the guitar for years, and now I have it. And it's like my child. It makes me feel like I am a rock star, but I'm not, you know. But, you know, I do things that take me away from whatever the issue is that I'm having with myself or in that moment.
That's awesome. So it sounds like a lot of your spirituality focuses on centering yourself, practicing good self-care, making sure that the energy that you're putting into the world is good. And just kind of focusing on that inner self, and, you know, kind of that law of attraction, that focusing on manifesting the things that you want in life. Does that sound correct? Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly awesome. It.
How has your organization been affected by the pandemic? You know, we've been in this kind of long winter. How are you guys working through that?
Yeah, so COVID is crazy. I mean, COVID is just, it's torn a lot of things up. But for us at Choose to Do Inc., we've grown through COVID. We initially were just meeting with our kids and the communities that we serve in person. But then COVID hit. And so just for transparency, I told myself as soon as we had the stay-at-home ban, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to actually rest because I didn't make time for myself in 2019. And so when the stay-at-home ban hit in March, I was like, okay, I'm going to rest. I'm not going to do anything. This is my time for myself. And then the board chair of Choose to Do Inc., she called me and she says, okay, we got to do something or find something to do. And I was like, no, in my head. But I knew she was right. We couldn't just sit idle, you know, while our kids needed us or our community needed us. So what we've done is we pivoted from our in-person program to our online classes. And our online classes are an extension of our in-person program. And with our online classes, we have instructors who volunteer their time to create and teach activities to our online audience. And that way, it allows people from all over the world to volunteer and give back. So we're not just targeting people in Houston anymore, kids in Houston or communities in Houston. We're targeting communities all over the world. And we have volunteers from all over the world. We have a volunteer who's in South Africa who's going to volunteer with us and teach a class this week. You know, and that would have never happened if COVID hadn't. I mean, COVID has hit my family horribly, and I don't wish COVID on anybody, but it has given us opportunity to grow.
What would you say the future holds for you within the next like 6 to 9 months?
6 to 9 months for me personally to be hired on as a full-time staff member with Choose to Do Inc. because currently I'm full-time, but I'm not receiving a full-time salary. And then to hire two to five more staff members so we can be a fully functioning organization. And then just to double the number of youth that we serve in the next 6 to 9 months, you know.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Yeah, it can happen. I believe it can.
Awesome. I do want to gather some of your thoughts on leadership tools. What are one or two essential skills or pieces of wisdom that every entrepreneur, nonprofit, or social enterprise leader should have in their toolbox?
Yes. Yeah, so to lead by example, for the CEO, whoever is the executive of the organization, the company, whether it's a small to mid-sized to large organization or company, the executive has to lead by example. And what I mean by that is for me, and particularly from my standpoint, I have board of directors that look up to me, even though they govern the organization. I am the leader of the organization and they take after my footsteps. We have committees and committee members on those committees. We have over 100 volunteers a year. We have donors, we have the kids. And so me at the top of the triangle, right? If my leadership is faulty or on shaky ground, then my credibility is shot. And I become untrustworthy or looked at as incapable of being able to run and build an organization. And so I say that to say, I think leading by example is something that is implied. And I think it should be common sense, but I understand it's also not common. But, you know, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you interact with people, the way that you show up for others, how you address people, your professionalism, all of those things make up a good leader or an effective leader.
I love that. I love that concept kind of like a leader not having any chinks in their armor. I think that that's a great tool to have. And you definitely have that aura about you.
Oh, thank you. It's not to say that leaders are perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have times where you're not going to be able to show the best leadership possible. But I think what it comes down to is people knowing and seeing that from you more consistent than not.
Awesome. So I would like to shift gears now and transition into some rapid fire questions. These will give our listeners a chance to get to know you in a hurry. So if you're ready for that, here's the first one. Where did you grow up and where do you live now?
I grew up in Houston, Texas, specifically in A-Leaf, and we call it the SWAT, which stands for Southwest A-Leaf, Texas. And I still live in Houston. I just live like in one city township over.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite quote? What is it and who is it by?
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's by Maya Angelou. And it goes, people will forget what you did. People will forget what you said, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Oh, that's a great one. I love that. A major theme of our show is on compassion and altruism, as you know. When is the last time that you did something for somebody without any expectation of return? And what is it that you did?
What is it that I did? I've been like so isolated recently, honestly, like I haven't done much in terms of going out. But what I'm about to do is we're going to be purchasing things for the kids. And so I'm excited because we have curated supplies for them that they wouldn't get otherwise. So there are these little gifts that we give them that come from my artist and creative side. And so something extra special that I want them to have from the program.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that a lot. And you're just a very generous person overall. So yeah, don't give yourself such a hard time. I'm sure you're of service more than you're not. So yeah.
Thank you.
Who is someone that has been incredibly influential in your life? And what would you say to that person today?
I would say my friend Susan. Susan is awesome. Susan is a nonprofit consultant. And when I started my nonprofit, she gives me tips and tricks on areas where I can improve. And she's actually the reason why our board is so together in the way that it is. And so I would love to like give her the world because she set me on an awesome path and wow. I am one day, but Susan's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Susan. Question number 5, what film or documentary has changed your life or your perspective on life?
That's a good question, but like got it. So I would say Black Panther. Ooh. And I'll tell you. So Black Panther obviously is a movie about African superheroes, but it's more than that. It was opportunity for Black people to see ourselves in this higher powered light, which we don't normally get to see in that way, and working together in a positive way and building community and showing us that we are strong together, you know, and being, having that movie and just being so proud of, you know, how we are and who we are and what we do. So for me, that was like, it was more so affirmation for me of like, okay, Dempsey, you're on the right path. You know, you're moving in the right direction. So keep going.
That's incredible. And lastly, what book would you gift to somebody?
I would give, I think it's called The Awkward Black Girl by Issa Rae, or The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. I'm not so sure, but Issa Rae, who's a producer, director, writer, and she's in entertainment, wrote a book, and I think it's the only book that she has, and it's a story about her ascension to where she is today. And so I would love to give that to somebody.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for answering those. All right. Well, we're near the close of the interview. I just have 3 remaining questions. So here's a question that I ask every guest. Let's imagine a hypothetical situation where there's a community of really good people and all of them have the best of intentions. They're just not sure how to make a great impact. What 3 words or mantras would you write on a billboard to help them make a greater impact? And why do you choose those words?
Good question. I would say everybody, well, I don't know. It's This is a hard question. you put me on the spot. I was like, I don't know. Everyone is just as important as the next person. Like, we're all the same here. First to identify who's the leader, because somebody's got to lead, and then we got to have some followers. But everybody is just as important. Everybody plays a role.
Ooh. Right? So I'm hearing you say, like, equanimity, leadership, and role-playing.
There we go. You got it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, you've done a ton of volunteer work throughout your life for many different organizations. It's obvious that giving your time to causes is a big deal to you. What's your why behind helping others? And why do you love helping? And what keeps you going even when things are difficult?
Yeah. So I love helping others because that's who I am. That's what I know. That's what I've seen. So that's been my upbringing, is to do that. And so I'm going to continue to do that. And for me, it's not really a sacrifice. It's just, I just know there's a unexplainable feeling that I have that motivates me to give back, to help others. And I've say it's God. It's God's given me this task to do. And so because God's given me this task, then I can't deviate from it. You know, I can't back down. It's already been destined for me. But what keeps me motivated to keep going is that essentially I am talking to myself. I am helping myself. I'm doing what I wish that I had when I was younger, you know? And if I'm not at my best, or if I'm feeling down, then I can't accomplish that. And so my motivation is it's a reminder to me that there's someone counting on me. There's someone that needs help. There's someone that needs something. And I might be that person to provide it for them.
That's beautiful. Final question. What are three ways that listeners can take action and help out your cause at Choose to Do, Inc.?
For sure. First, you can go to www.choosetodoinc.org and sign up to be a volunteer. We're always looking for volunteers to help out our kids in a youth mentorship position. But we also have volunteers that work in specific job descriptions. So you use your area of expertise to help the organization grow. You can do that from your home, wherever you are around the world. And then we're also looking for donations. We take sponsorships, grants, individual donors, in-kind donations, because that is how we impact our kids. And also we're able to stay afloat. And lastly, we're opening up our board membership. We're taking new candidates for our board and for our committees. And so people can go to, if anyone's interested, they can go to our website at www.choosetodoinc.org to find out more information and apply.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I really hope some people jump in and help serve your organization to really make an impact on these kids. Dozy, I just want to acknowledge you for your outstanding commitment to mental health and the empowerment of these kids who come from these underserved backgrounds. Am I getting it right? What do you say?
We say youth with underutilized potential.
Youth with underutilized potential. Your selfless nature, your kindness, and your attention to these kids is absolutely inspiring. And I'm sure so many kids will thank you for the positive outcomes that you've created in their lives. So thank you so much for taking the time today to tell us about your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Dozy O'Hare, founder and CEO of Choose to Do. It's always a pleasure to speak with people who have dedicated their lives to doing work that comes from the heart. In Dozy's case, her life experiences have led her to the work she does today, and she has been fearlessly doing it ever since. Her work inspires us to reflect on our own lives and our work and find ways to better serve our communities. I mean, Dozy literally wakes up every day and she says, "How can I serve today? And who can I help with the resources that I have available to me?" It's an honor to be able to speak with people like that and to learn from them. It is very special to speak with people who are impacting hundreds of youth's lives and improving their self-esteem and sense of self-worth. Dozy also mentioned self-care in her interview as one of the ways she helps her youth. This is such a critical point because overwork can easily lead to fatigue or burnout. And in order to keep serving those we want to serve, we need to practice self-compassion and get the rest we need to continue to do that. Take a mental health day. The work will always be there, but you won't if you don't prioritize your mental well-being and overall health. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode. Share it with your friends. And please leave us a review and remember to rate us 5 stars if you enjoyed listening to this podcast. Thank you.